80% of life is showing up. And here we are, for another Christmas, shown up. Though this year, that percentage probably seems a little low. 85, 95, maybe 99% even of today is showing up for a Christmas quite far from the last one, seemingly even too far from that first one. It's been a tough year for our hearts and heads and stomachs. We all have our personal scars from this year, those heavy-hearted reasons perhaps to stay at home today. I've buried 4 relatives in the last 6 months. That's close to my heart. For our heads, just open a newspaper or Twitter feed and see the great division in our nation, demanding our side picking, a singular left or right brain stance made again and again and again in loud voice and with caps locked. And then there's our stomachs, or whatever is left in them. Whatever remains after another gut punch of a year from life in the church in the United States. When St. Paul talks about the mystical body of Christ, of one member's suffering causing all to suffer, the pit in our stomach says something of that. We are all aching. And yet here we are, bearing it all, bringing it all this Christmas. Life is about showing up. And what do we see? The story today is a familiar one. Luke's account is the one most cherished through the years, one I'll get to hear my grandmother read tonight at our family gathering, retelling how she first recited it as a young girl at the Baptist Church in Cedar Hill, Tennessee, recited it still even after a fuse blew and the lights went out. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Familiar, but as we're here, reading a passage we could recite probably even in the dark, we might as well take a closer look. Having shown up. Every year at St. Peter's Square, a large nativity scene is installed. This year is no different, as artists from northern Italy traveled down to offer their pretty typical take. 3 wise men on one side, shepherds on the other, Joseph, Mary, and an angel, all hovering over a little baby in the middle. While the end product is what we expect, the material used probably isn't. Something I think for our hearts and heads and stomachs this year. Today, in St. Peter's Square, the nativity scene is made from sand. 700 tons of sand. A bas-relief sand structure. Could there be anything more fitting for our year? Now, the cynic in me, which too probably adds up to about 80%, could ask whether all that we're doing is just building sandcastles. Pretty little pictures of family or country or ministry to be eroded by the tide of time. The waves of an institution seeking only to protect itself, finding impossible to stop. Rather than an orange beach creation, though, the so-called sand nativity is actually quite stable. Its creator, a native of Florida and now a resident of Jesolo, Italy, Rich Verano, noted it could withstand moderately inclement conditions. The sand mixed with water is compressed into layers of blocks stacked on one another. So it's fragile, but not as fragile as we might assume. A description not merely of this artistic representation of our Lord's coming, but of our Jesus himself, arrived weakly, lived poorly, but present still. And if this is the description of Jesus, the God-man, our Savior and brother, like us in all things but sin, how much more of ourselves, fragile as we are, but not as fragile as we might assume. As our psalm refrain echoed, "Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord." Today, too, perhaps, is born for us, for our hearts and heads and stomachs, a Savior fit for our year, our time, our concerns and hopes, pains and fears, our sans nativity Savior. This is who we see today, showing up as we do. So, to all, Merry Christmas. A merry, fragile, but not as fragile as we might assume, Christmas this year.